My pleasure, Steve, and same to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, I'll sum it up like this. I thought the first quarter, and I said this at the beginning of the show, that the first quarter looked like the first two games. I thought the second quarter looked like the first few weeks, and I thought the second half was the best half I've seen them play all season. How did you view it?
Yeah, I thought, that's a really good way to put it. I never thought of it like that, but I thought the second quarter looked eerily like some of the games early in the season.
Yes.
There was a lot of open space downfield for Peyton Thorne to find open receivers. But the fact that Penn State came back from an 11-point halftime deficit and really controlled the second half, I thought that was a very complete half of football. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Steve. I think that was their best half of football all year.
Yeah, and a lot of elements came together in the second half. Jack and I had said in the broadcast that we felt coming out of the halftime, because it felt like a 7-on-7 drill in the second quarter. In terms of perception, you know, we felt they had to be the first team to score in the second half, and I thought that set the tone for the second half.
Yeah, that opening drive really did, and they got passing contributions from both quarterbacks on that drive, and I thought that was very impressive to come out. I think it was 11 plays, I think, 75 yards.
Yes.
I was very impressed with that, and I think that did set the tone for the rest of the game. Sean Clifford looked more decisive, released mm-hmm. the ball quicker. I think that helps him. That helps the Penn State offense. And I didn't know this till I saw the replay on Big Ten Network this morning. I guess that James had said to the TV folks that they needed to throw the ball down the field in the second half, and they did that. And I think that worked very well. And the other thing, Steve, is no sacks for the first time this year. No sacks allowed by Penn State. And on the other side of the ball, they set a season high for sacks with 4. I thought the second half, and I guess it was talked about after the game, but that stop from after first Michigan State at first and goal to 4 in the third quarter, and they had they had to kick a field goal. They settled for a field goal. I really think that changed things, and then Penn State turns around and drives quickly down the field to take the lead, and really they control the rest of the game.
I agree with you about the stand, because they get first and goal at the 4. They ended up with fourth and goal at the 6 and settled for a field goal, and you're still just one score down. In fact, I think I said something to the effect of when Penn State got the ensuing kickoff that they're only 69 yards from the lead, because you just felt it was swinging that way.
Yeah, I mean, okay, first down, the running back slips, but Ellis Brooks was right there.
Sure.
I didn't like Michigan State's second down play call with Thorne keeping the ball, but Penn State really defended it well. And then Shane Simmons, who had a tremendous game, much to the delight of probably the entire locker room, tipped the third down pass. And then they went down the field, and they hit those two. Levis found Dotson over the middle with maybe the best pass he's thrown. And then Clifford found Washington, on the left side there, and he took it down inside the 10, or near the 10, I should say. And, yeah, everything changed after that. And, it was a very good win. I mean, it wasn't always pretty, but the fact that they came from behind came from 11 points down, I think was very, very impressive.
What about the senior component of it? Now, obviously, they get another game this week in Beaver Stadium, and there may be a couple of those guys that do come back. We'll have to see. But what about the senior component? Not a big class, committed the fifth-year guys. Now, Tariq would not be in that group, and Jaquan Brisker is a two-year player, would not be in that group. But the other ones, like Fries, Michael Mennett from your area. for example. They committed when Penn State wasn't eligible for a bowl game. So they do that. They help win a Big Ten title. They help win a Fiesta Bowl. They help win a Cotton Bowl. Then they go through a global pandemic. When you've talked to them about their five-year ride here, and especially Michael, because I'm sure you talked to Michael enough, what's this experience been like with all the aspects they've had to deal with?
Well, Michael doesn't reveal a lot. Michael, I mean, he's
we have a
very good relationship, but Michael, you can tell after the game Saturday, on his press conference, how much he appreciated not only winning on Senior Day, not only playing at Penn State, but he felt like he has been embraced by the campus, by the community, by the fan base, and you can tell. And I felt the same thing about Shaka Toney as well.
Yes.
Shaka didn't say much publicly the first couple of years, and even last year when he was starting, he was reluctant to do interviews. But he's really become sort of a spokesman for this team, and really offers a lot of perspective. And you can tell from those two guys especially how much they appreciated, how much they have appreciated the opportunity to play at Penn State and all that. And all that they've been through. I mean, they've seen the highs of the highs and lows of the lows. Yeah. And now they're, coming off three consecutive wins, they're feeling pretty good about things going into the end of their careers.
Yeah, it was about 9:30 in the morning, and I'm watching Michael Mennett and Will Fries, just the two of them,
mm-hmm.
walk around the perimeter of the field. After the game, there's Michael Mennett, Will Fries. Others were doing it too, but they were together and then caught up with Shaka and those guys walking around the perimeter of the field. Hey, 5 years. Yeah? Same room, the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah, the roommates. Right.
Had to wonder what the emotions were like, that walk before the game, that walk after the game.
Yeah, I'm sure they were taking it all in as much as they could in an empty stadium, but they were. That's what I wrote in my game story. That whole trying to set that whole scene, and really how surreal it was. That they were taking a victory lap. Like I think Trace really kind of started this 2 years ago. Trace McSorley, excuse me, and they were doing that, but there was nobody in the stands, and you felt.
Yeah.
You felt for them. You're like, there should be somebody cheering for them because this is their, at that point, we really didn't know, was there going to be a game this week? Where was it going to be? We didn't really know for sure. So, yeah, I was really, the other guy from Berks County, Isaac Lutz, went there as a walk-on and got a scholarship last year, I was watching him too, and he was sort of doing, he was by himself, and
yes,
walking slowly and just looking up at the stadium, as he took his slow lap around and trying to take it all in, trying to imagine all, the whiteouts and, clinching the Big Ten East championship at the end of the 16 regular season and everything else that has happened there. And, it was a very poignant moment.
I thought so, too. We stayed on and we talked about it. Jack and I did, described it. Because we just thought it was emotional.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Isaac. We mentioned everybody who was doing it. Lamont Wade laying on the field, looking up at the sky, all that stuff. And it's not as if they've never been in there when the stadium was empty, because they've practiced and scrimmaged a lot in the stadium when nobody's been there. But it is different mentally when it's a game. And you just played a game. And there's nobody there, right? Except cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at me. They thought it might have been a former player. I don't remember. Said it was like a freshman scrimmage at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
I obviously you and I have both been there for the first three home games, and there were parents in there and for both from both schools.
Yeah.
But this was really really different with nobody in the stands. Just it was just very. you know, surreal is the best word I can use.
Yeah, no question. They've got the game this week, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to actually get into the Ohio State situation.
Okay.
The SEC is now starting to punch it a little bit. Dan Mullen makes a comment about losing to LSU, and he says, you know, he says maybe we should have played fewer games like other people. In other words, we risked it. Nobody else did. You know, the team in the Big Ten essentially didn't. Is there a perception that Ohio State is getting a free pass to get to not only the Big Ten championship game, but potentially a free pass of getting to the college football playoff because the brand means so much to the college football playoff as opposed to the resume?
If you're asking me if there's a perception, yes, and people are going to have that perception. How do I feel? I didn't really have a problem with it.
I didn't either.
And here's why. If Ohio State had played Michigan, chances are they would have won. Okay. But let's say they would have lost. They still would have gone to the Big Ten championship game.
Agreed.
So that it so really, and I got to say this too, tip of the cap, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, the athletic director at Indiana handled it great. This, you know, they didn't, at least publicly, didn't seem to have a problem with it. Well, then who else are you picking? So, you know, that's I don't have a problem with that at all. Secondly, Dan Mullen better worry about his players not throwing shoes before
right.
he and how about and also better worry about beating a 20 some point underdog in LSU
yeah.
before he casts aspersions on Ohio State and where they're
yeah.
at. I mean, Ohio State's let's say this: they're clearly the best team in the East, and that's
yes.
all we're talking about here. We're not talking yeah. about anything else. They're clearly the best team in the East, and I really didn't have a problem with that. You know, I just didn't. And you know, and if they happen to beat Northwestern, I expect them to. But if they do,
yeah.
I think they have as good a case as anybody to be in the playoff.
And yeah. they need and to be in the championship game. They need the data point. I mean, Iowa may be a better team for them to play in terms of opponent because
right.
Iowa's playing terrific football
yes.
right now. But you don't get the data point for playing Iowa. You get the data point because it's the Big Ten championship game. So that's where that comes into play.
I'm with you, Steve. I didn't think about it that much at all, to tell you the truth. But I did hear about the Dan Mullen remarks. So and I.
Yeah.
Sort of laughed.
I did. Well, here's what I had to laugh. When he threw the shoe, it reminded me of the movie Austin Powers.
Yes.
who throws a shoe?
Yes.
So.
I mean, yeah, like, and, you know, what is he, after you lose like that, and you lose to a team that you should have beaten at home
yes.
by a lot, you're talking about Ohio State? Like what is, I don't know. You know.
That's entitlement.
Yeah.
That's entitlement. All right.
Yeah, I guess. But
the number one seed in the NFC is?
Well, the Green Bay Packers right now.
Your favorite team is?
The Green Bay Packers.
What do you think of your team right now?
I
know the defense
scares
you.
I think the offense is playing as well as any team in the league, including the Chiefs. I worry about the defense. I mean, when it... You know, in a championship type setting, I don't know how good their defense is, and their special teams has been very leaky these last couple, probably 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, they gave up a long kickoff return yesterday that allowed Detroit to at least make it interesting at the end, and then they gave up, as you saw against the Eagles, they gave up a long punt return yeah. for a touchdown. So, but the quarterback's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard that. You know, I've heard
yeah.
of him. I like his style.
Yeah. 39 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions, 68% completions, and I think right now, and I of course I am biased, he should be the MVP. That's my
opinion. Adrian Amos, by the way, is the best defensive player you have. I mean, I think Amos.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. Adrian
no,
Amos.
Kenny Clark's pretty
best.
Good, but Amos has been a big help.
Huge.
Help.
huge.
Yeah. So, anyway.
There you go. There's your team. Hey, always a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully, hope to see you Saturday, and hope to have you on before the holidays, which obviously is next week. But let's get your perspective again next week. Rich, thank you.
Anytime, Steve. Thanks very much.